The world we know is changing. Welcome to Biotech Nation.
Biotech Nation is supported in part by the Dr. Paul Janssen Award for Biomedical Research, awarded by Johnson & Johnson to scientists who have made a significant, transformational contribution toward the improvement of human health. More information about 2009's winning scientist at pauljanssenaward.com.
Today on Biotech Nation, on Bio Issue of the Week, David Ewing Duncan tells us about some new science focused on the evolution of overconfidence. I don't know how it strikes you, but it brought me up short. Normally, with respect to evolution, we look at the physical characteristics which evolve in living species, all aimed at survival of the fittest. Today, Davis brings us new science which looks at human personality traits. Could they be as important as whether we have opposable thumbs for grasping tools and other objects within our reach? A hyoid bone, which enables us to form a myriad of sounds and thus complex speech, or even that we walk on 2 feet. All of these characteristics certainly define us as human, but could it be that equally important are our personality traits? What about what drives us, enables us to get up every day and build the amazing world we live in? Today, David's talking about some new science which points to the evolution of overconfidence. It bears listening to, if only for how it might affect us personally. When does overconfidence brim over into hubris, spelling disaster for all involved? When does merely being reasonably confident keep us from attempting daring feats which could change the face of history? How do we assess risk? And is this not just a matter of logic and experience? Is it also in our genes? Let's consider it now, the evolution of overconfidence.
Think about it here, Moira, about the space of, say, 150,000 years or so.
Went by just like that.
Boom. 4 billion-year-old planet. But we as a species have gone from a little band of, Homo sapiens somewhere in Africa, and we fanned out all over the world. We've fended off all sorts of dangers to ourselves. We've built cities. And now along comes a suggestion as to how we may have done that, or at least one way that we may have done this. And it may be that we're, in essence, hardwired to be overconfident, to think we can do these crazy things, and that helps us do them.
Well, let's take the definition first. What's overconfidence as opposed to confidence?
Well, overconfidence is believing that you can accomplish something, that you can overcome risk and obstacles, which somebody who isn't overconfident knows that they don't have a shot at actually overcoming. So it's actually assessing a situation and assuming that you will succeed, even though a rational person might say, I don't know, that's a little risky, or you may not be as beautiful as you think you are, or you may not be as smart as you think you are.
So if you're confident, it means you have a realistic grasp on what's around you and you can proceed forwards because you have a pretty good handle on it. If you're overconfident, you may in fact be ignoring all the signs. But you're telling me there's been some studies that say maybe overconfidence is a good thing?
Well, there's a pair of researchers, Dominic Johnson from the University of Edinburgh in Scotland and James Fowler from the University of California at San Diego. The first fellow, Dominic, is an evolutionary biologist, and James Fowler is a political scientist. And these guys have joined forces and published a paper with a lot of equations and mathematics.
So it must be real science.
It must be real. I mean, I would leave that to you as the engineer to figure out. But essentially, they've come up with the following supposition about human behavior, that in fact, those who are overconfident have a higher chance of actually overcoming a risk and succeeding than those who have a more rational viewpoint or are not overconfident. And they've come up with a formula that says, basically, if a situation that you were trying to achieve something in, a gain of some sort, if the reward is twice what the cost is of jumping into that situation, then you should go for it. Because in fact, according to their research, you have a very high chance of actually achieving success. And the reason is because some people you're competing with will have that rational view and will, in fact, not go after situations that they might have won. So I don't understand all of the statistics there, Maura, but basically you're filling in the gap for those who don't go for it.
So I think what I'm hearing here is that you got the confident ones, they're just going to do what they're going to do. You got the way overconfident ones, they just believe whatever and plunge in. And what they're trying to advocate for here is sort of this mid-ground, this appropriately overconfident, to say, look, if your estimate is that, you know, you're really going to not have to spend that much of your resources, whatever they may be, your time, your energy, your money, for the reward, you should go for it, even though it's not a slam dunk.
Are you confident that that's right, Maura? Are you overconfident that that is a correct interpretation?
I need an OC meter, my overconfidence meter, to tell me. But, I mean, I had to laugh when you sent me some advance on this. And it said, but, you know, the truly overconfident, it leads to arrogance, market bubbles, wars, and disasters.
Yes.
So, I mean, this is really a good idea to be studying this.
You have to look over the long term. I mean, we have been arguably quite successful as a species. The question is, you know, by being overconfident, by taking all of these risks, the question is there a law of diminishing returns, first of all, on that? And this is now me talking, not them. You know, it's arguable that our great success at building cities and, say, transportation, all of these things that we until fairly recently thought of as advancements, I mean, it may be in the long run that our overconfidence that got us there has caused us some problems, like, say, global warming, you know, lack of resources, et cetera. But the question is, how do you proceed to try to solve some of these big problems? Do you
have
solve
to believe
them rationally?
Yeah. You have to believe.
Or do you go with the overconfidence that we are going to solve global warming? And in fact, over time, that probably is a strategy that we should take on, as opposed to just being merely rational. And of course, Maura, there are a bunch of people out there, economists, others, trying right now to figure out what happened in the last year, year and a half, couple of years with, you know, the economic meltdown. And it's quite curious, you know, as a non-economist type of person here, to sit back and talk to people, to read these stories, where the specialists keep coming up with models where they try to describe how people will behave rationally. A lot of economic models are around that. But in fact, people don't always behave rationally. And that's essentially what's happening here. And one explanation is that we go for it.
And so there are a whole lot of people that have evolved then into overconfidence. Is it typical of any professions or personality types?
Well, I think you could probably point to a couple, like, say, stock market traders, derivative traders, hedge fund managers. And then back in ancient times, those guys who actually said, hey, I wonder what's on the other side of the hill. I think I'll go find out, even though that hill was, you know, a mountain range and they had to cross over it and they managed to do it anyway. Or I'm going to go check out that saber-toothed tiger. I think I can lick him.
Whoops.
You know, I think it's that same evolutionary. Now these guys are not finding a gene or anything for this, but there is also, about a year ago, I think we talked about a study at New York University with some neuroeconomists who also think they identified a place in the brain that makes us optimists rather than pessimists. So maybe all of this needs to be integrated and we can
merge together.
Yeah. We can come up with at least a reason why we seem to wake up, or at least most people in the morning, thinking they can solve their problems of the day. Moreover, we first have to realize how overconfident people are. And there are all kinds of studies that you can look at that suggest, for instance, college professors, 94% of them think that they're above average. 90% of drivers think they're above average. And you can just go on with the statistics.
What about that woman who recently passed the driving test after the 950th try? You just don't want to be in the same town. You know?
No, you think there might be a limit to the number of tests. I mean, just statistically, she's going to pass it, even if, you know.
Just leave. Please leave.
Even if she's an amoeba, you know, you're going to eventually get to pass this.
Right. But, I mean, there's that real problem between, you know, realism and the fact that, you know, a lot of times just if you just sit down and set your mind to it, your mother always told you that, you could get it done. So it's hard to put it in that stake of what is overly overconfident and what is not.
Yes. And I think the definition here is that this is overly confident. But yeah, there is that power of positive thinking. There's been a lot of talk about that maybe we have a little too much of that in this country. But clearly it's been an evolutionary trait that, at least according to these researchers, serves us well.
Well, I'll commit to you that the next time I have a few extra minutes, I'm going to sit down and study those equations. How about that?
Ooh, overconfidence. That's what I think.
There you go. Thanks so much, David. I'll see you next week.
See you next week.
David Ewing Duncan is the author of Experimental Man, What One Man's Body Reveals About His Future, Your Health, and Our Toxic World. For Biotech Nation, I'm Moira Gunn.
Biotech Nation is supported in part by the Dr. Paul Janssen Award for Biomedical Research, sponsored by Johnson & Johnson to honor the world's most innovative scientists. Information at pauljanssenaward.com.
You've been listening to the IT Conversations podcast edition of Tech Nation with Dr. Moira Gunn. Most editions of Tech Nation are recorded at the studios of KQED in San Francisco. Tech Nation is also available on over 200 public radio stations throughout the United States, as well as on Armed Forces Radio. Please check your local listings for time and availability.